But no, I'm like, you haven't let me down at all. If anything, you drew our nucleus and our chosen family that we've held on to, has kept me above water. Because you know that in the earlier days and months of going no contact with my family, mm-hmm. some of my family, I wanted to die. I told you that. I wanted to die. I could not. I did yoga. I did all these things. I could not feel anything for 3 days. 3 days. And I was just like, I should just die. And then 3 days passed and it occurred to me, thank you, God and my higher self, that people are not supposed to make you want to die.
No.
You're not supposed to want to die after seeing someone.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And so I
never thought about it like that.
Yes. And so I had to focus on who doesn't make me want to die. And that has always been you.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we're good. 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. As a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey. I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real-ish time.
Welcome all new and veteran listeners.
It's all right.
Welcome all new
You've been here before. Remember? Not new to this.
Welcome on new and veteran listeners, and a special shout out to our chosen family over on Patreon. Y'all are some real ones. Chosen family, A1 day ones, gang. We appreciate y'all.
We love y'all.
And to everybody else included, thank you all for being here and joining us on our first official episode back.
We're back.
Like
for real.
We're back.
Like actually
back. We're back.
This feels good.
It does.
This season's theme, because we've learned that actually helps us mm-hmm. when it comes to working on this podcast. This season's theme is lemonade. All right. I'm going to leave this to you.
Okay. I'm just turning down my stuff because anyway. Okay. The season's theme is lemonade.
Better.
As Mikey said, as lovers of art, movies, and music, we are inspired by bodies of work that are later dubbed timeless or classic. Mm-hmm. If y'all have been listening to us since 2018, you know this. And one of the things that made Beyoncé's Lemonade, was that it was vastly different than any other project she's ever put out and any other project many people have put out. Vulnerable and well executed. It was relatable for almost everyone who has ever loved anyone and was relatable to anyone wearing a mask.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yep.
And we're going to get into it this season and every season moving forward. But we recognize that in many ways we've been avoidant, self-deprecating, ungrateful, cruel to ourselves. We've been fearful and ultimately we've been blind to the ways that we are responsible for our lives.
No shade.
No, it's the truth. All right. We only have the ability to critique ourselves in this way now because we've been doing some work.
Lots of work.
And rather than apologize to you all and tell you that we love you because we do, and we love our show because we do, and the work that we do, we have decided instead to just show you all.
Yep. So in our first segment, we're going to discuss why we struggle to show up and what's different now. And then later we have our fight or flight, where today
I am going to confront Randy about something that actually I've had on my heart for a minute. It's something that actually inspired a poem. So you all get to hear one of my classic poems. Deadass.
What?
Yeah.
Well.
I know.
Okay.
You inspired a limerick, nigga. Like.
Finally.
Getting that ass with a haiku.
Oh my God. We'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we will share something we're proud of each other and or express gratitude. Sir, let's get
into it.
All right. Main topic, accountability.
Let's get into it. No. I just remembered it when you said that's like the thing I say.
Things that must be mentioned in this story.
So it's been 7 months and some change since we last recorded an episode.
Together, yes.
As Drew would say,
My bad. You've been saying that. My bad.
Let's just say that when we were doing the notes for this episode, the thing that we kept saying is, this is hard.
Yeah.
So full-ish transparency.
Yes.
We each feel changed, nervous, excited, uneasy, but we're ready to be back in a more intentional and honest way.
Yes.
Like for real, for real.
Yes.
We're back, y'all.
We are.
It feels weird.
We miss y'all.
This is a good weird, though. You ever just spend some time away from your baby, like a little, you know, getaway, a little vacation, and then you come back and you realize, nah, this is better.
Yeah.
Than where I was. I missed our baby.
Yeah.
Let's not neglect this child again.
The original firstborn.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, baby. So what has changed for us or about us? What's different this go around?
Okay. So, okay. This go around, this iteration of the podcast and the season is one of the biggest changes in my life personally and in our life is I've been no contact with a large part of my maternal family for almost a year.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be officially a year by the
end of the July.
Yeah.
And this has changed me in the way I show up. Because I've been forced to really confront myself. I've had to I've been in the dark, mm-hmm. As you know, and I've been deep in a fog. And for anyone who doesn't know what no contact is, that just means what it means. No contact, no talking, no seeing, no texting, no type of communication, no type of access. And that's been, it's been heartbreaking. I actually Googled divorces, mm-hmm. because it felt like what people say divorce is.
Well, because it was a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it wasn't the smoothest split either.
It really was quite dirty. I had to look at the willingness that I've had to play a victim and the willingness that I've had to abandon myself for the sake of my family and the fear of rejection. And I've had to look at all the ways I've been willfully in denial about how attached I've grown to dysfunction and dysfunction in families and how attached I've grown to appearing and being good, which y'all know we have talked about and I've talked about multiple times on this podcast. But going no contact with your family really does force you to be like, oh, shit. So all this and more has
great. I think going no contact with people that you just are really attached to. Even if they aren't just family, not everybody was super close people that you talk to all the time, but there are people that were a very major part of your life for a very long time.
People that I thought
would always be there, they were constant.
I can't imagine, I so desperately want to be in Drew's life.
Mm-hmm.
I so desperately want to be in her life. I think she is so cool. And I understand that when she gets older, she can make a decision about her. She'll have, when she gets older, she'll be able to decide who she wants to be around, mm-hmm. including even us. And I know that her childhood will greatly affect and impact her decision.
Yeah.
And one thing I've been struggling to deal with or to just even fathom is this concept of being willing to let Drew
go.
Yeah.
No.
I can't imagine being so afraid and so stuck, to not confront my shit, mm-hmm. And so that's what's been hard. Like you said, even for the people who I wasn't really close to or talked to all the time, it's like,
it's okay.
I just couldn't imagine it. I could not imagine a world without being in contact with Drew. And just because I like her, I really, really like her. And I think she's so cool. And I told her she's the funniest person I know. And she doesn't have to do anything, So I think I've also been dealing with not being loved in that way has been hard to confront.
Given the love that you don't consistently or maybe have never received is very difficult. Is one of the things that I'm learning about parenthood. And that's not the topic of this conversation, but as a father who did not have a father who is being the type of father that I am, it's weird.
It's triggering.
Yeah. Sets me off very often, actually.
It's I can imagine saying, half the shit I to you. You know how her little eyes get when she's just like, Dad.
Oh, she get that face from you. You just cut it out.
But so this is all greatly impacted how I have shown up and not shown up in the past and on our show. And now after some time, I'm back and my family and what that looks like is completely different than what it looked like when we first started the show.
And so in your opinion, it's been 7 months since the last episode. I don't know if you listening to this have heard that last episode. If you haven't, please go back, make sure you listen to it, and probably listen to the two episodes before the last episode,
because last episode was My Money, My Fear.
Definitely give you some insight into what's going on. A lot has changed. There have been a lot of positive changes, but the leading causes and factors of what's been going on is that my faith was severely hurt, and for the first time in my life I experienced true faithlessness. Like, I have nothing in me, which is a problem, because at my core I am a man of faith, like at my center, and it wasn't there. I tried finding it, I tried running from it, I tried everything I possibly could to feel different. Drank more than I have in a long time, smoked more than I did in a long time, both at the same time. I tried getting healthy, been working out, let that shit go, tried again. I don't know. This is still a journey that I'm on right now, but I have some different thoughts about it. And we'll talk about that more in the season. But years, like my entire life, years of like belief, dedication, stubbornness, emotional, spiritual, and mental neglect have basically started to manifest in ways that I planned for and ways that I didn't expect at all.
You planned for it? This neglect?
No, like to be prepared for it. Like, I thought I could see certain things happening. Like, if I continue down this path, this is how it's going to end up. And you have to like do some things to fight that. And I was prepared to like, you know, all right, cool. I understand that. I keep making these decisions. This is what's going to happen. I will take care of business. It's the unseen stuff, the unplanned stuff that just kind of fucked all that up.
Like what?
Like Noble. Losing Noble was one of those. Losing Noble, I realized, was like the last straw. And then you start to realize how many straws before that should have been the last straw.
Last straw for what?
Neglecting my mental, spiritual, and emotional health. And so this time around, it's different. Or one of the things that's different is that I have a different type of conviction about me. And I've had some time today, actually, which was really nice, to think about this as I ran on a treadmill. But I feel like one of the things that's different this time around is that I have a clear sense of me since everything that's happened over the last couple of years. I feel like a fog has lifted in some sense, a different type of clarity, which I think feels familiar because it kind of reminds me of like the Mikey that had faith. And I think that feels good.
Feels good. Feel good.
Now, we were given an emotional chart.
We were.
That I'm going to explore.
That will
to
be
add more in context.
Next episode, yeah.
Yeah, I it just feels different. I've realized some goals during this time that we've been away. Like, I've reached some goals. It's been great. I reached some goals that I set out to accomplish years ago. And I found myself satisfied in some areas and still wanting and unfulfilled in others. And I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah.
Y'all will get some indies and some daddy journals about it. But yeah, it's been... This has been a very interesting 6 months.
Seven months. 7, 8, I don't know.
Like since we last talked, and we'll catch y'all up. But yeah, that's me.
All right. So the next question was, what does taking responsibility over our lives and showing up look like to us now? And it's my turn. So for me, that looks like, this is to your question that you had asked earlier, but to me, that looks like being visible. Now, obviously, in some ways, in lots of ways, we are very visible because of the podcast, because of the reach we've had, and, you know, the New York Times, Tamron Hall Show, all those things, which are wonderful. But I am finding that being visible in that way is not the same as being visible in what that looks like for me now. And that means that essentially I journaled, as y'all know, I journaled a while ago, that as open as I am and have been, I've been afraid to truly like showcase who I am because I don't want some parts of my family to find me. Like,
I'm sorry.
Like, I've literally...
What do you mean, Randy?
Like, I've been playing in the dark. Like, I've been in, like, straddling this line of, like, being myself, not being myself, out of fear of being, like, found out. Like, out of fear of being... You know, it's... like, of being found out. For instance, when I first started meditating and really doing inner child work, which I highly recommend, I would see Lutheran under my childhood bed. And I've spoken to people on Patreon about this, but I would see her under the bed that I shared with my sister. And she was really, really, really small, like a borrower small. And she did not trust me. She loved me, but she did not trust me. And I could not get her to come from under the bed. And then as I continue meditating and just being a witness to her and just like staying in this childhood bedroom, I get her to come from under the bed. Then I get her to come to the doorway. And then I get her to come to the doorway of the house, but I could not get her to step out. But it wasn't until going no contact with certain family members that I saw her for the first time outside, laying in the grass with her face to the sun. And I sobbed during that meditation. Like, I was like, oh my God, she feels safe now to leave the house, at least the inside of it. I just got her to leave the yard, you know, but like, you know, she feels safe now. And to me, that's what responsibility looks like. It looks like doing hard and scary things for love and for love of myself. And it looks like being willing to be visible regardless of who may see me and what they may say about what they see. And it looks like caring more about what I think of myself. And I think, I mean, I think with any type of performance, which is what like our podcast is, like it's the truth, but it's a performance, it's edited well, and it's, we care about the quality. So there's always going to be some concept of like, what is the audience like? But this time around, in terms of taking responsibility over myself and showing up for the podcast, it's like, okay, being me and like just making sure that controlling like the things I can't control. I can't control what somebody perceives based off of me, but I can't control how the episode sounds. You know, so like not micromanaging myself in like that way. Yeah. How about just being myself?
Healthy management.
Yeah. How about you? The question was, what is taking... Why are you looking at me like that?
I love you. I'm listening to you. I hear you.
Thank you. What does taking responsibility over our lives and showing up look like to us now for you?
To me, it just looks like execution.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a known history of excellence. Excellence, me and you. Both as a couple and as individuals, like we just do. We've had some standards that are placed on us and many that we like molded for ourselves based off of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that the people that we've most let down throughout this entire situation is us.
Mm.
And it hurts the most that like I fucked up and I fucked up my best friend. And I've been having these thoughts for a while. And that piece is the piece that I hate.
What do you mean you fucked up? And you fucked up your best friend.
I feel like we haven't been doing the things that we know to do that we have always been able to do, which is show up regardless, like just be ourselves. I think, not think, it's very clear now that we've lost ourselves in a lot of different ways. And you've been doing work to get back to yourself. I've been doing work to get back to myself. We've been doing work together to return to ourselves, you know, as a unit and as a couple. And it sucks. It just sucks knowing that, like, I let down Randy. I'm just thinking about just from a friend perspective.
I don't think you let me down.
I feel like I did. I feel like I didn't hold us up. I feel like I didn't hold me up.
That.
Which is very difficult when I can't.
Right. You're not God.
It's not about being God. I don't think I am.
What I'm saying is it's not your responsibility to hold us up.
It felt like it.
Why?
Because it's what I do. It's what we do. We show up and we care for each other as best as we can. But for a period there, it just couldn't happen.
I feel like, while to your standard, it may not have been, but I never have not felt cared for by you throughout this entire time. Honestly. And I didn't know that you felt that way. And so I'm sorry that you've been beating yourself up about that. But I've been feeling incredibly loved and held despite all the things, and well, that is what's
still a try. It's just,
it's been enough. I think I'm hoping, though that wasn't the question, but I'm hoping that as we move forward in this era and this iteration of the podcast and showing up, that you are, that you ease up on yourself and that you are kinder and communicate this. Cause this is my first time hearing it, but I know that's the magic for us also of the podcast, is that we hear some things for the first time, the same way y'all do on the mic. No matter how long we spend in production meetings, there are some things. But no, I'm like, you haven't let me down at all. If anything, you drew our nucleus and our chosen family that we've held on to, has kept me above water. Because you know that in the earlier days and months of going no contact with my family, some of my family, I wanted to die. I told you that. I wanted to die. I could not. I did yoga. I did all these things. I could not feel anything for 3 days. 3 days. And I was just like, I should just die. And then 3 days passed and it occurred to me, thank you, God and my higher self, that people are not supposed to make you want to die.
No.
People are not supposed to. You're not supposed to want to die after seeing someone.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And so
I never thought about it like that.
Yes. And so I had to focus on who doesn't make me want to die. And that has always been you. Truly. What?
Thank you. I wasn't prepared for that. But this is what happens. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about?
What you talking about?
This. Talking like this. This is what happens. Hang on a second.
It's okay. It's okay.
All right. Full-ish transparency for a moment. I'm going off script. I haven't had a moment to just look you in your eyes and talk for a while because we both been doing our own shit for a very long time. I'm at work. You at work. I'm parenting. You parenting. We parenting. Like, it feels good to just look in your face right now and talk to you and share thoughts and feelings. Oh, the feelings. I love you.
I love you. All right.
Okay. Ultimately, my attitude right now is to do what needs to be done for all the things that I love. As we've just shared, I've been doing what I could for you and our family and myself, but I haven't been satisfied with it, which again is just, that's just whatever. It just doesn't look like what I want it to look like or what I feel it should. Cognitive distortion. It is, however, it is what it is. And there are parts of the work that we've done so far that I love, and there's just parts of it that I want to do better. But for the longest, I haven't been in a space where I'm like, all right, now I have the energy or the room to do better. It's just been bare minimum, survive, just make it through real quick. Like, just, I'm off that now. That's dead. Is a place that I'm in. I just want to do what makes us happy. I want to do what brings us joy. I want to do what fills us. Step one was recording this episode.
Yeah.
Setting these mics up again. Talking to each other. Deciding what it is that we want. How we want to move. This came up in another conversation that we had. But ultimately, when we're moving together, we move different. It's stronger. It makes more sense. And it works. We wasn't right.
Yeah.
We wasn't. But
I think we should have honored that, because I think a way that we could have shown up was by not showing up. I think we could have honored that by taking the year off the podcast, like we initially said when we announced that Noble died. We said we'd come back in a year. And I think despite, like, we could have still recorded maybe for each other just because that really helped us talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe share the, you know, episodes later. Maybe definitely, you know, because in that way we wouldn't have to worry about the stress of like recording and all that stuff, because it would have already been done. But I think us showing up was us trying to play this part, you know, and you know, obviously there was some good that came into that, which was community we built with other parents who have lost children and people who like just wanted to love on us and help us. But I think that us not showing up, despite how awkward and uncomfortable it was at times to not show up, would helped all of this, because it also would have been like, you maybe would not be feeling like, I gotta keep showing up. If you didn't have to, You know, like, and I didn't have to. I can't even look back at some of the pictures and the videos and things we took shortly after Noble died, or like the first, those first few months, that first year. Cause I'm like, I was fucking crazy. Like, why was I trying to do anything? You know, like, I don't understand. And I didn't realize how wild that was until, you know, obviously hindsight. But yeah. Sorry for cutting you off.
No. Thank you.
Welcome. Did you finish your part?
No, not really, but
I want to hear the rest.
Ultimately, it looks like execution. What that looks like, y'all gonna see. that's where I stand with it. But I just wanna take our life back in our own hands. We are not go with the flow people. Mm-mm. We're kinda like guide ourselves through the flow. All right, so if you've never seen The Last Airbender, the series, then you can skip forward 30 seconds. But remember that scene where they're like, he's going through his past lives, and one of them was like, I was a go with the flow avatar, and my wife got kidnapped, mm-hmm. and her face got stolen, and
yeah,
I tried to avenge her death, but you know, there's nothing I could do, and I died, and someone else came. I think the life after that was Kyoshi or some shit. Like, mm-hmm. I came back as a very violent person. I'm tired of like giving it up. And I think that a part of it, a large part of it, which we've talked about and take responsibility for, is ultimately our decisions or lack thereof. And so just taking back control, putting ourselves back in the seat to do what we're supposed to do, which is determined by us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Hey. All right. So finally, for the main topic, what does being grateful and gracious look like to us? And how do we plan to display this on the show?
How about this? I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
And I want you to wrap it, because you know how you do. To me, being grateful and gracious looks like intention on display. Strategic and deliberate moves is what I feel like, because this is how we started. It ain't where we ended, and it's not what we did in the middle. We just kind of like, oh, that's coming our way now. Oh, that's great. It's like being given blessings and you just not sure what to do with them because you weren't prepared before mm-hmm. you like jumped into it. Winning the lottery and having no financial plan.
Yeah.
And then going broke. It happens very often, but more often than not. But, you know, every once in a while, there's that person who, when they first got their millions, they like tucked some away.
Mm-hmm.
Then blew money.
Mm-hmm.
So they never really were broke. And our millions have been as microphones. They've been sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
It just took a minute. And so it just looks like being smart about how we move. I'm a chess player. And I tried teaching Drew until you showed me that Bluey episode.
Yes. Right now, we're just trying to protect our hearts. Her mind is okay.
Y'all, we've become more parents. but yeah, I want to get back to playing chess and not...
Mm. Tapping into your gifts, tapping into yourself.
I remember. I can dig it. I remember.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
For me, being grateful and gracious looks like boundaries. But I think that the difference between then and now is I have self-respect. I have self-respect, and I hadn't realized how much self-respect I lacked. I hadn't realized.
Can you please elaborate?
Like
Oh, I'm Googling the definition of self-respect. So I Googled what self-respect is. Oh, sorry. For that rough cut. So yeah, computer died. So self-respect is defined as pride and confidence in oneself. A feeling that one is behaving with honor and dignity. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't have that.
Oh, sorry. What it means to have self-respect. Self-respect is loving yourself and treating yourself with care. It's the result of staying true to your values and not being willing to compromise. The more you engage in behaviors consistent with your beliefs and values, the more you feel fulfilled and confident.
Mm-hmm.
So you wasn't?
No, I am not. Mm-hmm. I've realized that in our growth, in our unexpected success, convinced me to give a, like, to, I started mimicking people, and I started like trying to, I forgot what the reason was. Like, the reason that we started this podcast was to stay together and to talk to each other and to build a community, like to get friends and people who were happy to be married and who like their kids and who maybe don't hit each other or their kids, you know, and like who are like doing their work and like making money and, you know, not gatekeeping. Like, we really wanted to just find a community so that we could stay married, so we could have a healthy marriage and not like the marriages we saw growing up. But I know, like, the success also convinced me, like, oh, well, it convinced me that not even that success, I can't blame the success. I thought that to keep the success that we were doing and to keep all the things that were happening that were positive, I had to not be myself.
Yeah. I don't think that was
it's a lack of boundaries and a lack of, I didn't have boundaries. In terms of like my energy, you know, we would record sometimes and then I would go right to editing just to have it up on whatever day we promised we'd have it up, you know, when at the expense of myself, you know, like it wasn't, we would record in a setting I knew it would be really tough to edit in and not do it anyway, you know, or I'd force episodes to like happen, you know, and that's what I mean by boundaries. And so where I'm approaching this and what being grateful and gracious looks like is like honoring myself, honoring my boundaries and my capacity. We're recording this days before it goes out, you know, which will give me more than enough time to edit. We're working to eventually outsource this so that I don't have to edit anymore. And, you know, being willing to give away
the sauce. Yeah, we doing stuff.
But yeah, I'm just saying, it's like just protecting ourselves and not maybe not sharing so many things in real time, but in realish time to give ourselves time to sit with each other and to, you know.
Yeah, the podcast was about us. And I think at some point we gave it up and it became about other shit is what I mean. That's what I meant about the control part. I just wanted to get back to what our goal was. Because I started remembering the same thing.
And who we are. And there's nothing wrong with like us growing through the podcast. Like, please. But also remembering that it doesn't require us to be anybody else but us.
Yes.
Yeah. Whew.
Girl.
Well, y'all.
Engagement. What have y'all been up to?
Mikey got his charger.
What would you like to see on the show this season?
Yeah, let us know, y'all. You can join us on Patreon where we have face-to-face discussions and you'll hear from us directly in community and be in community with us and others.
It's good people over there, y'all.
Yes. Or you can shoot us an email at blackmailmare@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098 or hit us up on social media and let us know how y'all are feeling about BMM's return.
Is this like exciting? Like, is this a good return? Like a good sequel? Or is this like a bad sequel, like Mortal Kombat Annihilation? Like, is this, I've watched that movie now that I'm older, the second Mortal Kombat. Oh my God, it's the worst thing.
I think it's like Lemonade.
It's terrible. No, wait, what?
I think Our Return is like Lemonade.
Got you. Okay.
Which is why we named it that. This
will be different.
Yeah.
In a good way. I'm looking forward to this, baby.
Amen. Babe.
Yeah, what's up?
Can I read you something?
Why did you ask me in your sexy voice?
No one said marriage was easy.
Is this an ad?
But it shouldn't be this hard. Audra Connor Foster is used to presenting a picture of domestic bliss to the outside world. The truth is, her husband hasn't touched her in months. After a bitter argument one night, she finally asks for a divorce.
Oh shit.
Damon is not surprised when Audra asks, but the words sting. What he won't allow her to do is keep him away from his kid. A battle of wills ensues, forcing the couple to face the truth about the demise of their marriage.
This sounds dramatic.
Yeah. In the midst of all the pain, anger, and bitterness, they try to rekindle the fire in their relationship before it's too late.
It's not too late.
Would you read this book?
Would I read it?
Yes.
I'd let you read it to me.
Okay, that's fair.
How about instead I read a little bit about the author?
Okay.
So Delaney Diamond is the USA Today's best-selling author of more than 50 sensual contemporary romance and romantic suspense novels.
Ooh.
Audra is actually book 3 of her Family Ties series, a story about Damon and Audra, whose marriage is on the rocks when Audra finally asks for a divorce. I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. The couple reconnects through exercises that remind them of how and why they fell in love.
Okay.
It's looking like a relationship check-in.
Sounds like one.
What readers are saying, sexy, a powerful story of love, a beautiful story of saving a marriage, definitely recommend.
Okay.
And we too recommend, y'all. I'm currently reading this book on my Kindle. You can also be reading it on your Kindle or wherever you get your books.
All right. So what's the name of the book?
The book is called Audra by Delaney Diamond.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, 'cause it's Fight or Flight.
All right, sir.
All right. So
Fight or Flight.
Fight or Flight. Yeah, I'm not starting how I normally do. I got beef.
You say that.
I think that, no, normally I say I love you first. I'll end it with I love you. But I got beef.
He's right. Still out of breath because he had to run upstairs.
No, it's just because saying this to you is kind of tough, but it's how I feel. So I'm going to get this out.
Oh, God.
So we have Patreon meetings weekly. we've been talking to the same people regularly now for
months.
Years.
A year.
Yeah, it's been years. Yeah.
Because they used to be bi-weekly. Now they're weekly.
But these people have spent so much time like talking with us that they have a real, I think that they have a genuine sense of like our hearts. Like they really do like see us,
mm-hmm.
In a way that I thought you could only do if you've been cool with somebody since middle school, mm-hmm. or you've been dating this person since high school. But like when the connection is like real and like genuine, you see shit. Mm-hmm. You do. We were having a meeting the other day and Randy said some shit.
What'd I say?
You said something about yourself. You were like, I didn't like, you were like,
I was working on the site.
You were working on something. You were like, yeah, it don't look like, you know, what it was supposed to look like, you know, like, and then I saw three people's faces. I'm not gonna call y'all out right now, but I love them. All women.
I know one of them was Yunitsa.
Immediately Renee. Just like, oh,
yes. Yunitsa, Renee, who else was on the call?
Just rolled their fucking eyes like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, I thought I was alone, but they got mad at you. Like I get mad at you as like a friend, because what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? When are you going? No, but those little small, would you call those microaggressions?
I don't know.
Those small moments where you attack yourself unprompted for no fucking reason can be really, really irritating as a friend, because I would never let anybody talk to you like this. You would never let anybody talk to me like this, but you'd be wilding on yourself. And it's,
I've gotten way better.
You have gotten way better. But I think it's time. I'm serious.
Oh, I'm listening.
I think it's time that you stop.
I agree.
I believe that you have been doing yourself a disservice. I think that you are. I'm ready for you to stop, because it's not cool, and I can't like fight you because you, my friend. That would be causing more harm to the person you causing harm to. But like, if it was anybody else, I checked them differently. And I couldn't figure out what to do, and so I wrote a daddy journal. This was a note that originally started off with me saying some words to Drew, and it kind of turned into saying some words to Noble, and from there it turned into talking to younger me, and then it just turned into me talking to you.
Hmm.
And so what I'm gonna read to you is the piece
was
you. All right, I did say this before, like the way that I write or wrote poems when I was younger is not in a normal rhyme scheme. I genuinely enjoy poetry, but like not Cat in the Hat poetry. Like I have some of those, but like this was more like of a story. So I will put this piece out there for you. Okay. I can't look at you while I do this. Like, would you like close your eyes?
No.
Can you
read it?
Okay. When are you going to remember who you are? You've been cast aside, shit on, played and abandoned. Yes. But you're also regularly praised, truly seen by the people you love, who love you, chose you, appreciated by those whose livelihood depend on your health, well-being, availability, and presence. When are you going to remember what you are? Powerful in every way, but extremely blind to just how much. People have come and gone, but nothing has changed in regard to how special you are. Beautiful, brilliant, and strong. The words I tell my daughter to repeat to herself in the mirror. Affirmations that describe her mother, that I pray she internalizes and believes to her dying day, like you should. I know things have been impossible. I've been here with you the entire time. I tell you all the time, you are on no one's time but your own. But when are you going to remember that you are everything? I love you. And
I love you too.
I'm gonna
flee.
Okay.
Because I know you know that I've been doing lots, but that day was not a day where I was honoring boundaries, mm-hmm. because I was doing the most trying to get.
That day was the day I finished writing this. This was a note from I think 2-3 months ago. It's on paper. The journal is downstairs, but I had just copied over, or typed out that part.
Yeah, like I usually start sabotaging and talking crazy to myself and not being gracious to myself when I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. Like
So later that week we had a conversation. You started realizing that you were doing too much. We sat outside on the floor.
Outside and I just like cried.
Like I was like, okay, so she is aware. And that's when I started kind of getting some shit off. I was like,
slow down.
Like, it's not.
Because I've been really passionate about us coming back. Mm-hmm. I've been really trying to like get the site back up because, you know, all the things. And like, you know, I've really been, you're right. You just said, you were like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit by you. I just sat there and I cried and I really needed it, you know, because I was feeling pressure, but I realized again that it wasn't pressure anybody was putting on me. Nobody gives a fuck about the site, you know, like not really. And as long as they can get their episode on Apple, which they show up, you know, and Spotify, like it doesn't need to happen. It was just what I really wanted done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
But in those situations, when the first thing you do is start attacking you.
I wasn't even conscious of it.
But this is just one of those things I'm pointing out. And I actually want to use our fight or flights this go around to like for real talk about it. Because I'm going to do my best to hold you accountable. Like you do your best to hold me accountable. But when our friends made a face at you, I was like, oh shit.
I didn't even see it.
I was like, I think if other people gang up on someone about something like this at the same time, it's good. And in that moment, everybody took a moment to love on you. Everybody said something. And it was like this is what you make these communities. Exactly. That's the point. It ain't about what you're looking for. It's about what's supposed to happen. It's about the truth. The truth of the matter is you're amazing.
Thank you.
And that's just it. I love you.
I love you.
Yeah, I made you flee.
PDA.
We're doing something different this season, so our PDA segment will no longer start by the person who just got talked about.
Got the ass. It will be the person who started the fight.
You can't just start fights and then just run away and ask somebody to love on you now. So
listen,
conceptually, it don't make sense. So now that I've said that,
clearly we've been working in dysfunction. Because like if that is not a sign.
Oh shit. I didn't realize it until I said it. Yeah.
Like I just that wasn't in the script. And now you gotta
tell me why you love me.
Okay, Mike. Tell me why you love me.
You know what I'm gonna say.
Please don't say anything about my mothering.
No.
About what?
No, what? Okay, continue. What did you think?
No, that's a fight. That's not this.
No, it's okay.
Nothing.
I want to hear.
Something about me being a good mom.
No.
That's been the last few fights way back when.
You're great, but no.
What?
This is about you, woman.
What?
You've been working really hard.
Yeah.
Y'all, while the mics have been off and the cameras ain't been rolling, Randy has been building a whole business.
I have.
Ground up. She is her own street team. Randy been selling CDs out the trunk of her friend car. Randy has been traveling on MARTA to get to shows, to make appearances. Really, not really, y'all, but the conceptually. Anyway, Randy been out here slinging mixtapes and selling. I'm just very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm very
proud of you. You have been doing ridiculous amounts of work. Y'all have listened for seasons now. My wife is extremely book smart. She's a nerd, and I love her for it. And this woman has decided to upend her entire career path to go the entrepreneurial route like an idiot. Like, imagine having a clear path to what you think you're supposed to be doing and then just saying, fuck it. You did that. You're doing that.
I did that.
And you've walked into and fallen into some pits and dug yourself back out. You figured out how to go around some shit. You figured out the stuff you have to do. You've been figuring it out like an entrepreneur does, like a true businesswoman. And it's hilarious. But I'm proud of you. I am proud of you. I'm proud of you because it's stupid. It's stupid. You've become a farmer. You've decided to plant seeds and wait for the right seasons for the soil to be a certain way so that the seeds can grow into trees and you can pluck them.
I'm tired.
Instead of being like every other nigga and going to the grocery store. Like,
I'm tired.
You chose this life.
I'm tired.
Sorry. I'm extremely proud of you.
Thank you.
Because you have been executing. You have been executing. And you are going to reap the fruits of your labor. Just like everyone eventually does.
Eventually.
And then, yes. And then you will see like, oh, okay, it was worth getting into this farming shit.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm going to keep laughing at your plant ass because you really chose this life.
I did.
You're doing beautiful.
Thank you.
And that ain't got nothing to do with you being a mother or a wife. That's just you. Yes, team. You're doing great.
Thank you, Mike.
And I love you.
I love you.
Also, happy to be recording with you. Yes. You thought that was what I would say.
No, I didn't know what you were going to say.
I miss your face.
I miss your face. You look happy, which this is a nice change. Face.
Oh, I've had a very rough life last couple years here. So this feels good.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome.
Okay, my PDA.
Yes, love on me now.
One, you look good. You have been working out. I remember you did an indie, season 2, season 3.
What, dad bod?
No, it had to be, season 2. You were like, you had said something like, you know, Randy's going to make sure she works out. And Randy's getting back to that. But you have been showing up for yourself. I know you haven't been like too happy about the days you've missed at the gym, whatever, but not minimizing that. But you look great. You look so good. And I don't even know if you remember, I fell asleep the other night. I think it was last night. Spooning you. Because I was just like, I just wanted to, when it was cold.
There was a moment. Yes,
and
I do remember.
And I like your chest. You just feel so good. You look great. And I'm very proud of you for keeping up with it. You know? Like, I know, again, it's not done perfectly in your opinion. And there are things you could do better. And you will. But I'm very proud of you for that. And secondly, you sent the screenshot of your updated credit score. You've been working.
I have.
I'm very proud of you, Mike. Like, I know that you get on me about it, but you do it too.
What?
You do not stop to see how far you have come.
No, I don't stop. I just look and be like, oh, that's
no,
great.
Like, you need to give it its day. You need to give it its month.
You're right.
You need to sit there and be like, no, really, you did this.
But like, the greats don't, Mike, just rest in their success.
Mike, and part of the reason why they burn out and turn to drugs and lose all the stuff, they're all the great. Some of the greats are also cautionary tales.
This is true.
Because they aren't stopping to be like, today it's enough. It's enough, Mike.
I've been trying.
You are doing.
You don't think I've said a couple of times that today is enough? I definitely have.
I'm not saying you haven't been trying.
I'm only thinking of one instance. That's all I could pull out of.
But this is what I'm saying, is like, just like your fight, it's time, Mike. Mm-hmm. It's time, sincerely, for you to be what you are to everybody else, to yourself. And I am proud of you for the PDA, because I'm not going to bring that fight up. I am proud of you because you are, I'm not turning this to a fight, mm-hmm, is what I mean. Because you are doing little things. You are doing little, you're doing things I never thought you'd do, like napping. You're.
I did take a nap the other day.
You're doing things, yeah, like napping, you're sitting down with Drew without, like, you know, sometimes she'll make no sense, and sometimes she's showing us the same thing over and over and over again. And now she is speaking with a British accent because of all the bluey.
You're cheeky.
She called me cheeky.
You're cheeky, mommy. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. We should Google it, but
I think she said bloke the other day.
She said, she asked me something. I was like, does that mean, am I playing? She's like, are you potting? I don't know what she said. I was like, what does this mean? Anyway, so she's a bunch of bluey. But no, like, you've been, I can see, Mike, you're doing little things, but I want you to know that I love you, and it is safe for you to put yourself first, to do the things you want to do, and to be good to yourself. because you have done a lot and you are doing a lot, not just your labor, like you mean so much to everybody and to me. And I want you to start treating yourself like how you demand I treat myself, because it's getting played. I know you're a Pisces.
I know all the things. Journal, you know, was to both of us.
Oh, was it?
That it was everyone.
Well,
I was talking. It was inspired by everyone. It ended with you.
Well, I love you.
But you're right.
You take good care of us, and it's time for you to take care of yourself. And I'm proud of you for the ways that you have started to do that.
Thank you. Somebody called me Slim the other day on Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've been working.
I was like, you're lying. But I was like, nah, I see you. I was feeling slim that moment.
You're working.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome. Call to action.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is hosted and co-produced by me, Mikey.
And me, Randy.
All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by
Randy Chapman
at Wordy Motherfucking Productions.
I'm sorry, my nose is blown out. Yes.
Yeah, you can lower that part.
No, can you just edited say it again?
At Wordy Productions.
Thank you.
The podcast production management company.
Yes. To connect with us, join our community at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. We have calendars detailing our events, mm-hmm. know what's going on before the general public, mm-hmm. meet some cool people, y'all, and see what our community is like.
The community is going up, y'all. It's more and more of us that have decided to like start doing the stuff we plan to do during the pandemic. Niggas is outside. Niggas got free flights.
They Twitches is going on. You know, we got gamers.
Like, the growth is growthing. And
we got a couple starting businesses.
You kind of want to get in on this.
Shout
right
out
now.
To Susie and Robbie.
I'm so proud of them.
Miss Lorraine starting a franchise. Y'all missing out.
Join the family.
We are now and still available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all your favorite streaming services.
Rate us
5 stars and review us. We love to shout y'all out. Y'all know we devote whole episodes to it, but we cannot do that if you don't leave a message on the app.
If you left one before, do it again. Times have changed.
Update. Been listening since 2018. We'd love to see it.
And they still nice.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that part. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles.
Hey, girl. Hey, baby Jedi.
She a mama now,
She's a
y'all.
Whole mother.
We love you, Ebony.
Details in our show notes. And be sure to check out our website. It will eventually be up. www.blackmillennialmarriage.com.
It was fire before. It's going to be fire again. Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_thechapmans. We really need to stop playing and just deactivate it.
Now we're going
to
start tweeting.
Tweeting about what?
Everything. All couple related content. We just going to tweet.
Is that
Let's
us?
See how it, let's try it. Let's try it.
You can try it.
Done.
Okay. Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
When you get, 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon.